You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 91st episode of Hallyu At You. I'm your host, Shay from the K-Way. Shanice isn't with us this week. She will be back for our usual programming next week, so stay tuned for that. But on this podcast, we love hanging out with you, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between. So make sure to sit back, relax, and we're going to jump straight into things with our very first segment, per usual, which is Hot Topics, where we're going to give you a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So kicking things off with JB and Sick K leaving Higher Music. We know that this caused an array of different reactions from fans, especially on JB's part. A lot of fans felt as though he hadn't even been with Higher Music that long, so it was quite a shocker. But we really do hope that they both do well in their future endeavors, whether that's setting up their own agencies and working under themselves, or joining a music agency that really aligns with their goals, passions, and ideals. Next, Kim Yuna and Ko Woo-rim confirmed their engagement, which is super cute. SNSD confirmed their 7th album together, which I know all the Girls' Generation fans are super excited for. Luna announced their very first world tour, which is a big deal, and they're coming to Europe. We know here in Europe that a world tour doesn't always mean that we're involved, so this is a big deal. So all the Luna stans, make sure that you keep an eye out for all the updates to make sure that you can be there, because it's happening. They're coming here, because sometimes a world tour just means like Korea, other parts of Asia, and America, South America if you're lucky, but we're not always in the Mr. Things, so make sure to grab your tickets. And Sister reunite on the last episode of Sketchbook. Actually need to check this out. I heard it was super cute, so yes, I will be looking into that too. But that was Hot Topics. If there are any stories or anything epic that's come up over the past week or so that you guys want to highlight, send them to us on socials, because we'd love to know what's come up for you or been interesting for you in the K world over the past week or so. Moving on to our next segment called Say What, where we'll be reading and breaking down some of your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between. If you want to send in any of your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, stories, or requests, feel free to submit them anonymously on Shanice's website, which is kpopbox.co.uk/HallyuAtYou, or you can send them to us on socials. We know you guys love to break things down on TikTok, so you can drop them there. But if you want to be anonymous and stealth and share all your thoughts and be incognito, leave them anonymously on Shanice's website. But delving into our very first unpopular opinion for today. So this person said, trick warning, this unpopular opinion touches on bullying and related topics. Just to preface, I am someone who has been bullied myself. It's a hard experience, and in no way am I trying to take away or lighten the impact that bullying can have on a person. That being said, I feel like 4th-gen scandals are pretty light compared to 1st- and 2nd-gen scandals. Like most 4th-gen scandals have to do with mild bullying, whereas 1st-gen and 2nd-gen scandals had to do with military service evasion, murder, and hardcore stalking, etc. Ooh. I do appreciate the preface that this person included, that bullying in any capacity, whether it seems light or minor to someone looking in or just listening to a story, it's a big deal and it's never okay. But I do know that there were some really crazy scandals that happened in the early days of K-pop. I wish Shanice was here because she would have more of the tea. I just know that there were some really crazy stories. And some people that have like pretty much been blacklisted from the K-entertainment world because of things that have happened and like really intense fan things that have happened. I know like obviously there are still sissangs now and really intense crazy things that come up, and bullying in and itself like in any capacity is never okay and can be super damaging. So yeah, I don't think it's comparable to be like, let's trauma compare, but I do know some really crazy things happened in first and second gen K-pop. But yes, let's recircle back to this next week because I want to hear Shanice's thoughts on this as well. But yeah, I know things were crazy back then. And I think even though they were highlighted, like things might have been in the news or on online forums to some extent, because social media wasn't the way it is currently now, things happened and then they sort of faded away. Whereas now, even if the smallest thing happens, like everyone's going to find out, and hopefully it will be dealt with because people should be held accountable for their actions. But yeah, if the things that happened in first and second gen K-pop happened now, the world would turn inside out. So let's leave it at that. But yes, thank you very much for your unpopular opinion and also being vulnerable, being someone that has experienced bullying and sharing that. But yes, let's delve back into this a little bit more next week. Our next unpopular opinion for today is, I love that we're getting more K-dramas that represent different people and communities, but I found it really interesting how some people were reacting to Extraordinary Attorney Woo. Like, on the one hand, I saw a lot of people that are neurodivergent and autistic talk about how they were offended that the actress allegedly didn't use video or real-life references for her depiction of an autistic character, but instead referenced something called the DSM-5, which I heard that a lot of autistic people say isn't a good thing. I've also heard that a lot of people say that they are quite upset with the drama portraying the stereotype that autistic people or neurodiverse people have to be super geniuses to be accepted, valued, or seen as useful in society. So I'm actually currently watching Extraordinary Attorney Woo, and for the most part, I really enjoy it. I can understand, like, I'm not someone that's been diagnosed autistic myself, so I don't want to speak over anyone's voice or anyone in that community, but I can understand the perspective and the lens that these people are sharing their views from, where it's like, oh, this person has to be an outstanding asset to society to be accepted or to be valued in any way, or they would sort of otherwise just be brushed to one side or exiled or like just be put in this like bucket of people that aren't quite useful. I know I'm sort of rambling, but I do get this perspective. I think any time when a certain community issue, people from certain backgrounds, or when we're portraying people of diverse backgrounds in media, it has to be done in such a way that it's educational and insightful, rather than just being like, okay, we're just going to raise awareness of this and it's going to be in the thing and that's it. I can understand why people would be upset. I've also seen something that made me feel quite uncomfortable myself, where there's a trend where people are behaving like the main character of Extraordinary Attorney Woo, and that in itself is quite inhumane and disrespectful. Like, this isn't, even though in this context it is someone depicting a character, but this is some people's real life. So for now, for you to take it away and use it and portray this caricature, I think that's quite disrespectful and upsetting. And I've also heard stories come out of Korea specifically, where middle school kids are now sort of using this drama as ammo to bully other kids, being like, oh, are you Woo Young-woo? I think that's her name. Basically saying like, oh, are you autistic, or like in a very negative way. So I think it is a double-edged sword when we have certain stories that are told with characters from certain backgrounds, where people can now take this and use these platforms for untoward things. And it's quite upsetting, because obviously when you create something, I would like to think that the directors or the creators or the writers behind this show didn't have any negative intentions. but it was always something to think about when creating a piece of content and understanding how an audience is going to use the material, how it can affect existing issues. Is it going to further fuel stereotypes? Are people now going to be like, oh, are all autistic people geniuses, or are they all going to be X, Y, and Z way? So I think it is difficult when something that is a spectrum is being depicted in one way. And because it is on such a huge platform, like it's the drama itself has done really well for itself. It was charting like number one on Netflix's international programs platform and stuff. So it is a double-edged sword, like one, raising awareness that having neurodiversity or being autistic or whatever you experience in life doesn't define sort of where you can go or what you can do. And I think from that perspective, it can be really inspiring. But if we're hearing people from the actual communities being depicted saying that, well, this has made me feel uncomfortable, or this is being used wrong, I think those voices need to be heard as well. Yeah, so I can't personally speak on this. I know I've given my two pence, but if there is anyone who is neurodivergent or autistic that would like to speak on this matter a bit more, do reach out to us, because we always want to make sure that we're highlighting the voices of people from different communities and diverse backgrounds so that we can get your perspective and actually hear what you have to say rather than just assuming what you might want to say. And on to our very last unpopular opinion for today. This person said, I really like the new girl group NewJeans. They have a really cool Y2K vibe, but I do feel like they are debuting way too young. I feel like we've spoken about debut ages a few times on this podcast, and I don't know, I could be wrong, but I feel like back in the day, groups, idols within groups were debuting fairly young. But I think the difference may have been like between the youngest member of the group and the oldest member of the group, there was like at least 4 to 5 years between them. So it felt like, oh, there's like a kind of a slightly older one, and like there's an older few, and then there's a younger few. They're all debuting fairly young, but it still felt like, oh, there are some older ones. Whereas nowadays, at least from, in my opinion, my limited opinion, because I don't track all the new groups that come out, it does feel like everyone is like just 14 or 15 altogether, and like everyone's the same age. So maybe that's what people are feeling. I'm not aware of all of the members' ages. I'm assuming that they're in the early to mid-teen years. We've spoken about this once again on the pod. I personally feel like idols shouldn't debut until they're at least 18, just taking into consideration like how demanding the job is, being in the public eye, the sort of people that are now going to be stans of these idols or going to bias certain members. Like, it just makes me feel a bit uncomfy when people are stanning minors. Or like, when you think about it on paper, imagine there's a group and majority of the members are minors, and people go out, spend tons of money, and they buy pictures of minors and they keep them like in their purses or phone cases. I know people have good intentions, but on paper it does not sound right. And just taking into consideration all of the things, like you're a bit more developed by 18. It's not saying you have life figured out. When I was 18, I still felt 12. But sometimes that can rub me up the wrong way. But I think in comparison to other groups and other idols that have debuted in the past, I don't think there's a huge difference in debut ages, to be honest. I could be wrong, so if anyone wants to politely correct me in the comments, let me know. But yeah, I do need to do some more research into NewJeans, though. I've heard some of their snippets going around on TikTok, and they seem really cool and they have a fresh vibe. And I feel like people are really craving this sort of sound. Obviously, I don't even think this is their official debut yet. I don't know if this is like a pre-debut situation, but people are really craving the sort of sound and color that they're bringing. I've heard quite some positive feedback from one of their music videos that came out, like just depicting what it's like to just be a teen and exploring and better understanding yourself and growing. So I think that's really cute. I need to check all this out myself, but from what I've heard, it sounds like good stuff. So hopefully they continue on the track that they're on. And I think it's pretty cool, like just developing a fan base so early on, because from what I heard, like there weren't any teasers for this. It just sort of happened. It came out and people are obsessed. So I think it's a really organic way to sort of test the waters, see what people like, what they're into. And yes, wishing them all the best. But I will definitely check it. I don't know if it's one MV, but I know there's that main song that they have out. So I'll check it out and I can update you guys next week. Yes, but that was all of our unpopular opinions for today. If you have any unpopular opinions, dilemmas, requests, or stories, you can submit them anonymously on Shanice's website, which is kpopbox.co.uk/HallyuAtYou, or you can send them to us on socials. And now it's time for On the Radar, where I'm going to let you know what's been on my radar. So this could be anything I'm listening to, watching, or anything I want to put you guys onto. Yeah, so my radar hasn't actually been crazy busy recently. I feel like I'm re-getting into dramas again. I did take a bit of a break from dramas. They just weren't hitting the same. They weren't feeling the same for a while. So now I'm sort of diving back into them. So if anyone has any good recommendations, send them my way. I know that I think they're called the Wooga group squad people, like V and his friends. I think they'd done like a special episode of like BTS in the soup type situation. I could be completely off with this, but y'all know what I'm talking about. They're together. That's a moment. I need to watch that. Apparently it's like really cute. What else is on my radar? I want to check out New Jean. Is that their name? I know it's something Jean. Let's go with that. I need to check them out a bit more. And super random, but I feel like I need to go out and have Korean food. I haven't had Korean food in ages. Well, what feels like ages, and I'm just really craving tteokbokki and like fried chicken. So TMI, but that's on my radar as well. Oh, last little add-on for my On the Radar is I actually started watching this 1K drama. It's called Bad Girlfriend. And I don't know if it's like a web drama. I don't know if it's also going on TV, but the concept is literally crazy. So it's this one girl and she basically has two boyfriends and she likes them both. She knows that what she's doing is wrong, but she likes them both and she keeps them like as separate as possible. But then one day she walks into work and they're both in the office. So like one of her boyfriend, like her first boyfriend, I don't know which is her first, one of them, he like works at the same company as her and he's like her like superior, like her leader dude person. And then the other guy is this guy that used to work at this cafe that she would go to. So she's dating both of them. They don't know. The cafe boyfriend dude ends up taking up a graphic design job at her company. So then she walks in on her two boyfriends together. They don't know that they're both her boyfriend. And because with her office relationship, they have to hide it anyway. And then with her other relationship, he isn't going to openly be like, oh, you're my girlfriend in a professional setting, just in case. So it's really crazy. The episodes are super short, dare I say, like 15-20 minutes. It's a ridiculous concept, but I just need to know what happens next. But yeah, I thought I would chuck that in there as well. But we hope that you guys have enjoyed listening to this episode. I know it's been a little bit different to our usual programming, but Shanice will be back next week. We'll have some cool updates and we'll be back to our usual programming and structure. But yes, thank you so much for listening to Hallyu At You today. Remember, if you have any unpopular opinions, stories, requests, dilemmas, or anything like that, you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/HallyuAtYou, or you can send them to us on socials. I've been Shay from the K-Way, and remember to stay safe, happy, K-popping stuff, yeah. and we will holla at you. Bye.